Hello there. Welcome to The Essentials. I'm James. I'm the pastor of the Glenwood Moravian Community Church here in Madison, Wisconsin. And this is our podcast where we discuss our faith, we wrestle with questions and doubts, and hopefully celebrate the good news and the love we can bring to the world. For today's episode, I have our scripture lesson and our message from Sunday, May 18th. Our lesson came from the Gospel of John, it's chapter 13, verses 31 through 35, and we heard from the Message translation. Here is that reading. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is seen for who he is, and God seen for who he is in him. The moment God is seen in him, God's glory will be on display. In glorifying him, he himself will be glorified. Glory all around. Little children, I'm with you for only a short time longer. You're going to look high and low for me. But just as I told the Jews, I'm telling you, where I go, you are not able to come. Let me give you a new command. Love one another. In the same way I loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see that you have love for each other." Here ends our reading. Now, there has been a song stuck in my head ever since I read that passage for this week. And I think the most obvious connection would be to hear Jesus say that people will know they're his disciples by their love, and then go straight to that song titled in a very similar way, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love." But my mind went in a different direction. As Jesus tells his friends to love each other in the same way he loved them, curious about that love, it prompted me to ask the question, what is love? So, for about a week, the catchy tune from Hadaway has been running through my brain. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. And I don't know any of the other lyrics, so it's just been that line in my brain on loop. And if you know the SNL skit that has that song playing in the background, you know that I've been seeing images of Jim Carrey and Will Ferrell violently bob their heads as they crash party after party on an epic night out. If you haven't seen the skit, they go from a nightclub to a high school prom to a random wedding before ending the night at a nursing home as Jim Carrey kisses an older woman so passionately that he takes out her dentures. But what is this type of love Jesus is talking about? It's been said that this is kind of the ABCs, the 1 plus 1 of Christian belief. You could put it right up there with John 3:16. It's so simple that a child can understand it. Jesus refers to his disciples as children as he teaches them this new command. And it is so simple and obvious, but we know it is still one of the hardest things to put into practice. Now, the context of when Jesus gives this new command is very important. If you have a good memory, you might remember hearing these words on Maundy Thursday. This text takes us right back to the evening of the Last Supper, to the night of Judas' betrayal and Jesus' arrest. This reading is actually sandwiched right between Jesus predicting that Judas will betray him and then predicting that Peter will deny him. And John's gospel is unique in this sense that Jesus seems to have a very tangible awareness of all that's going to happen. He sees his entire life and ministry as clear steps in God's plan. He knows what will take place before it happens. So he knows that Judas will betray him. He knows Peter will deny him. And between betrayal and denial, he provides a lesson about love. He's so aware that his friends are going to let him down in catastrophic ways, but he pauses and instructs them to love one another. Love each other exactly the way I have loved you. That's how people will know that you are my followers. Oftentimes, we focus immediately on the cross as the clear example of what Jesus was willing to do out of love for his followers. To die on the cross was this great sign of love for us. But in his very all-knowing way here in John's Gospel, Jesus' instructions don't point to a love that will be displayed on the cross in a short time. His instructions are to love each other in the way he has loved them already. Loving each other doesn't have to be a heroic sacrifice. It doesn't have to be epic. In our years traveling together, I have shown you love. I have cared for you. If you do that, you will be known as my disciples. So in their time with Jesus, before trying to comprehend the love displayed on the cross, his disciples experience his love in really remarkably simple ways. He was patient with them when they were slow to understand. He calmed their fears when they were in the middle of a storm. He listened to and answered their questions. He fed them, gave them direction. On this very evening, he would wash their feet. So they would understand his love as a welcoming presence, as a person of inclusion who wants to expand the community to embrace all. They see someone who knows that you've screwed up and who knows that you're going to screw up again, but someone who cares for you, walks with you, and serves you anyway. To embody the love that he's given to him, to them, his disciples would know that this love is a ministry of presence. It's a ministry of being with someone. And if this type of love can be known as the ABCs of Christian faith, as the basics, then how is it that churches have gained a reputation in our culture for casting judgment and focusing on sin? If this present and servant love of Jesus is his last command for his followers and for us, then why is it that so many Christians have made it their priority to tell people all the ways they aren't getting into heaven? If our instruction we get from Jesus himself is to care for each other in the same way he cared for his friends, then our faith should inspire us to walk with people, to patiently listen to them, to serve people with no expectation that we'll get anything in return. That is the love of Jesus, and that should be our guiding light. Before a heroic image on the cross, there's the humble, even mundane and ordinary love of just being there for someone, no matter who they are or where they've been. Now, I can't pretend to say that our Moravian Church has mastered this love. I know we're a work in progress. We don't have it all figured out. But when it comes to being there for one another in a way that reflects Jesus' love and doing that before anything else, when it comes to caring for each other as being the key component of our faith, I think we're on the right path. Our Moravian motto says, "In essentials, unity; in non-essentials, liberty; and in all things, love." If you haven't heard them before, the essentials to us are that God has created us, redeemed us, and has made us holy. And in response to these actions from God, we live lives of faith, hope, and love. That's something we have to agree on. Then there's the non-essentials, which we are free to disagree on and argue about, and we often do. That includes interpretation of scripture, theology, the weight of doctrines and creeds, the importance of certain customs and practices of faith. That all can vary, as long as what we do embodies our response of being people of faith, hope, and love. And then in all things, love, meaning when we disagree, when we are sure that we are right and the other person is wrong, we treat one another with love. We sit at the table and break bread together. We pray for each other, not that someone finds the light and comes to our way of thinking, but that God would surround, protect, and care for the other person. We show up in their time of need. Despite any differences we might have, we try to be the very presence of love in that person's life. There's no demands that they see things our way, no changes they need to make, just love and understanding. Now, I feel so incredibly blessed that my family found the Moravian Church when I was really young. Beginning of grade school, it's really the only church I've ever known. And in every Moravian church that I've walked into, in every season of my life that I've been going through, I have never had any doubts that I would be seen and embraced, that I would be accepted. And I do understand that is a tremendous piece of privilege when it comes to a sense of being accepted in a place of faith. I know in every denomination, the straight, middle-class white guy will probably feel pretty comfortable. But it's been affirming to know that those who've been classically excluded from church are finding that the Moravians provide a welcoming presence. To arrive at a church and to not find a list of standards they need to adhere to not be met with a list of creeds you have to believe in, to not immediately get a sense of where you need to land on a particular issue in order to fit in. It's not a very common experience, but it is the Moravian experience. For those who've been attending our church for just a little while, who are new to being with the Moravians, the last thing you might hear is what we believe in concrete and certain terms. But I hope it's the care and compassion from the community that has given you what you need to visit again and again. And we'll talk about what we believe along the way. And if you've been part of a Moravian community for decades and you still can't find the right words to answer that question that everyone asks, what is a Moravian? Maybe your answer can be found in those simple yet profound ways you have encountered the love of Jesus there. Because we are people of that final commandment. We are people of love. And rather than tell you what we believe, so that hopefully you believe exactly what we do someday, we'd rather show you. Show you how Jesus has inspired us to care for you and for the world around us. Amen. Thank you for stopping by for another episode. If you'd like to learn more about the church that I serve, it's Glenwood Moravian Community Church in Madison. You can follow us on Facebook. You can visit our website. You can find us on YouTube if you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning. And if you want to learn more about the Moravian Church in general, you can go to moravian.org. So take care, be well. I'll catch you all next time.